The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Like flip-flops with the socks is a good look. No?
Not even a little
bit.
Yes,
it is.
Nope.
It's in.
No, that's slides or Birkenstocks.
Now, what is it that you do exactly?
I attend to his personal affairs.
Like what?
Well, like tomorrow, for example, I have to buy him some socks.
It's not flip-flops. It's never flip-flops.
I can't wear Jerusalem cruisers. Those look terrible. Yeah, but not with socks.
So, what do you think?
No.
You don't like them?
No, I don't like them.
What's wrong?
They're too tight.
Too tight?
There's no elastic. You need to pull too much.
Jesus didn't wear socks.
He would if he had them.
You think? No, because he was over where it's hot. He doesn't need socks.
You gotta let him breathe.
Yeah.
Let the dogs breathe, Chad.
Wonder how they cut their nails back then.
Excuse me, Mr. Pitt. It'd be all right if I got you the socks tomorrow.
Tomorrow? I was hoping for my new socks today.
Well, it's just one more day.
I'm sorry. I must have them today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running around, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They make the plans. We sit and count. Our chairs stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it. She running around. She
there's a famous saying
cool
in the
ever.
Running or exercise community, Gabe. And it is, forward is a pace. Forward is a pace. And it's to encourage people to keep moving, right? Like, doesn't matter if you're going, you know, you're running a 5-minute mile, 4-minute mile. If you're going forward, that's a pace. Keep going. And I thought about that yesterday when I heard the updates. Updates in
using that
marks.
Word very loosely.
Quotation marks.
Feels.
On the Jordan Love contract situation. So the updates. I'm just going to keep doing it like that too. The updates are that there is progress. That the two sides are talking, which again. No bleep, bleep, block.
Well, like, that's not progress. Just because you're talking doesn't mean that's progress.
Well, have you ever gotten a fight with your wife?
Sure, but that's not what this is.
No. But like, you're at a stalemate initially, right? Or at some point you might be at a stalemate. And then somebody breaks the silence and is like, you know, do you want coffee this morning or whatever it is? And like, you can progress in conversation, right? You go from having like 5 minutes between words to 3 minutes between words. That's progress.
But
you're still talking.
But we also like... They've been talking for a while, right?
But they're
still
talking.
That's what we were led to be. Oh, that means, but again, that's not progress. Still talking is not progress.
It is if the pace, if you will, of the talks is increasing. If they're talking more frequently. If there's positive back and forth. All of which I have no idea if any of that is happening. To be
that's
perfectly
what I'm saying. I don't think
you.
Any of that is necessarily happening right now. I mean, because it, like we were led to believe that this deal was close. That's a direct quote from Brian Gutekunst, correct? That's what he said when he stepped to the podium on Monday before practice, that they were close. So how, if you're that close and it feels like, oh yeah, we're not worried about this, this deal's going to get done. Like, shouldn't progress be done? Or is this a situation where hey, how's your, oh, I'm almost done with my homework, Mom. Almost done with my homework, but you actually haven't really started
well,
your homework.
Well, this is a perfect opportunity for you to draw upon your experience running the marathon last year. Half marathon. You ran the half marathon?
Yes, half marathon.
Half marathon last year.
Because, I mean, bleep a full marathon.
Yeah, only crazy people run full marathons and craziest people run multiple full marathons. So you're running the half marathon, which is 13.1 famously. And look, you get to the 9-mile marker, anything over half.
Mm-hmm.
Are you close to done? You're close. You're getting close. You're getting close?
You're getting
closer.
You're getting
at mile
closer.
10 than you were at mile 9. Yeah. Are you closer at 12 than you were at 9? Are you closer at 13? You're at 13, you're closer. You're not done, but you're closer.
At no point did I think I was almost done until like mile 12. You're like not almost. Yeah, you're halfway up, but there's so much, especially running the lakefront. Like mile 8, you're running up the Hone for a mile, which is brutal. Did not prepare myself for that, by the way. So if anybody's happy to be running the Milwaukee, you know, Lakefront Marathon this year, keep that in mind, that around mile 8, you run up the Hone for about a mile straight. It's not great. I mean, sure, but again, like, I didn't get to the bottom of the Hone, to continue the metaphor, didn't get to the bottom of the Hone and go, yeah, we're so close. We're so close, we're not worried about that. I got to the bottom of the Hone and went, holy bleep. How much I got to do that, and then more on top of that, and then more on top of that.
But to your point about mile 12, thinking, okay, I'm close, but then you had to go through 12.1, 12.2, 12.3, 12.4, 12.5, and you're getting closer. You're making incremental progress. And I believe that is what we are being led to believe is at least occurring with the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love. I guess the question to you, Gabe, is do you think a deal will be done by the time we turn on these microphones on Monday morning? I don't think a deal is going to be done. So I try to remember that Jordan Love's agents are located in Los Angeles. So like, even so, there's already that time change from there to Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Again, not that he's not working around the clock. I don't want to make it seem like he's punching out when he goes to bed at night. The point is, there's a time difference here anyway. So right now it's 5 a.m. in L.A.
Yeah.
If the deal got done right now, he would wake up. He would be available, is my point. But I don't know that it's going to get done today. So I'm asking you, if you think we will be having a Jordan Love deal done by the time we step into the studio on Monday morning.
Kind of doesn't really feel like it. Doesn't really feel like it because, again, the updates that we're getting from Diana or Adam Schefter when they're putting things out there, it's the updates that you're putting in quotes. It's like, oh, man, they're progressing. The talks are progressing. Like, that's what we should have been hearing back in May. Oh, yeah, they're progressing. Okay, well, they got 2 months. I want something more concrete than what Gutekunst said on Monday. Oh, we're close. What Diana, Adam Schefter, others have reported out there. Oh, they're progressing. Talks are progressing. I need something more concrete than that. How are they progressing? That's what I want to know. Because otherwise, these are just kind of vague things that everybody's throwing out there to try to calm the fan base down.
So to me, it is that there's, excuse me. To me, it is that there is not just one thing hanging this thing up. There's not just one sticking point. My guess is there are several things that they are still working through. My guess is Jordan's
then camp, they're not close. Then they weren't ever close.
But several is still better than many, right? Like, we can do this incremental language thing if you want. Few, would it be better if I said a few, a couple? It's more than one, basically. There's more than one. And again, that I don't know if that's this very moment. Maybe between now and yesterday they have figured out one of them or two of them. But I've been led to believe that there were a few things that were still needing to be hashed out, needing to be agreed upon before this thing could be signed.
Then turns out you weren't ever close.
But you're closer than you were a week ago.
Yeah, but again, you already told me you were close. So you lied to me when you said that you were almost done with your homework when, in fact, you hadn't started your homework.
Okay, do we need to go over the marathon analogy again? You can be closer. You can be making progress. Forward is
sure.
A pace.
No, but I'm going back to what Brian Gutekunst said. Then you weren't actually close. Yes, are you getting closer now? Like, if I tell you, oh, yeah, Jen, I did my homework, but I hadn't actually started it, and now I started. Well, now I'm closer to being done because now I've actually started it. I wasn't actually close when I lied to you and said I was close.
So do you think that just depends on the person? Like, again, I'm going to keep using the running analogy because it feels good as far as like making incremental progress. For me, who has run 6 marathons, when I get past the halfway point, that might feel close because I've done it so many times. Mm-hmm. This is an old hat thing. For you, running your first half marathon, you get past the halfway point. You still got the Hone Bridge in front of you. That doesn't feel close. Like, so I think that might depend on the person as well. Each person can have a different interpretation of what close is. That's where we're kind of in this nebulous, is it done or is it not done? Answer is it's not done. So people are still speculating.
it feels like you didn't even start the marathon and you felt like you were almost done.
Me?
No. The Packers.
Oh, gotcha.
Again, because I keep going back to Brian Gutekunst saying they were close. But I don't know if they actually started.
Well, the other part of that, to be honest with you, Gabe, could be a little bit of ego. Could be a little bit of arrogance. Could be like, oh, yeah, we're close. Like, he's going to come around. He's gonna agree to what we put out there because, well, why wouldn't you? We are, as you know, the Green Bay Packers. You know what I mean? Like, that could be part of an interpretation of close. And Jordan's camp is going, we ain't close. We ain't signing that deal, that offer. That's insulting, or whatever it was, right? Like, there's how two sides can think, oh, yeah, we're close to getting this done, and be totally on different pages.
Yeah. And if you weren't close, then you just said that on Monday, and these reports continue to come out because you're not actually close, and you're just trying to, you know, maybe try to rush through these negotiations that you should have done, and now you're cramming for the exam. But you weren't actually ever close on Monday. If we get through to Monday, if we open up our microphones, and it's been a week since that first practice, they weren't close when Brian Gutekunst said they were close, right? Because when your general manager says you're close to getting a deal done and it doesn't seem like you're worried, but then your quarterback misses a week of practice, then you weren't actually close. Then you're misinterpreting something. This to me, and again, it's going to disappear once they actually get this deal done. I think Brian Gutekunst's reputation is taking a bigger hit than Jordan Love's right now. Because he's the one who has stood up there multiple times this offseason and said things that maybe he didn't think he was lying at the time, but they turn out to be untrue. Starting with Aaron Jones is going to be a Green Bay Packer. Then moving on to Kenny Clark. We wouldn't get that deal done unless we had a deal with Jordan done, like he said on Cheesehead TV, and saying that they wanted a deal done with Jordan Love before camp. And I understand, not everything's in his control because he doesn't have the control. He's on the same level, right? Because this is Russ's category, and I don't know if Russ is dragging his feet to justify his job or whatever the hell's going on out there. But right now, when you step up there, this is now strike four of, oh yeah, we're close, we're not worried about it. At what point does that turn out to be a lie?
So is there any concern by you? Because I think this is the bigger picture, right? Most people would say the deal gets done when the deal gets done. Who gives a bleep? But is there any concern by you that the deal does not get done? That's, I think, where we have to sit here and go, the longer it takes, and again, I feel like we are still in the early stages of this hold in. Three practices, no pads, helmets and shorts, right? Monday, though, right? I think they put the pads on before then.
Don't Saturday.
They put the pads on?
Tomorrow.
So Saturday. Pads are on. Are you concerned at all that this thing is not going to get done?
It's like a 1% of me that's concerned that it won't get done at all before the season.
Then what's the shrapnel?
But it with every day it grows. Huh. Why isn't this done yet? You start thinking about that. Why? What the hell's going on? Why aren't they doing this? But again, it's Brian Gutekunst standing up there, and maybe this is part of his like strategy of, I don't have to now listen to whatever you say when you step up to the podium, because I don't know if I can believe what you're saying.
Oh, like it's a conspiracy theory. Well, like your conspiracy theory is that maybe Goody is intentionally planting untruths, mistruths, so that eventually we go, what? Goody's talking.
Yeah,
who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. But how
else? High level stuff.
How else do you explain the list of, again, I don't want to call them lies necessarily, but him stepping up and saying the things that he said that eventually became untrue? How do I explain that? How do I explain the list of things that he has stood up there and were the highlights of the press conferences or highlights of, again, in the Kenny Clark thing, highlight of the interview he did with Cheesehead TV? How else do I explain that?
At best, it's him trying to give answers to a process or to processes that he doesn't really have definitive answers to. At worst, he is blatantly lying.
Where do you land?
that he's trying to give answers to things that he doesn't have exact answers to. I think he was hopeful on some of those things. I think he was hopeful that Aaron Jones would take the lowball offer. I mean, I'm serious. I'm being serious, though.
Yeah, but then you can't, but like when you can't go, oh yeah, but we're confident that he's going to be a Green Bay Packer. So, and then lowball.
So again, I am willing to accept that there was a delusion there, right? That Aaron Jones was going to get more money on an open market, which he ultimately did. I'm accepting that there was a delusion there. The point is, he was hopeful that all of the other stuff, the Green Bay Packer culture and Aaron Jones' legacy and blah, 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 would carry more weight and he would sign a lower deal with the Green Bay Packers. And that's just one example. I think he also was hopeful that the Jordan Love deal would get done before the Kenny Clark deal would get done, right? Because he's the priority. We talked about it. You pay your mortgage before you pay the grocery bill. You pay your mortgage before you go out to eat, right? Not to diminish Kenny Clark's value to the team, but I think we can all agree it is not as high as Jordan Love's. I think he was hopeful in all of those situations, and therefore he was basing his answers on that hope, albeit, in some cases, delusion.
I think I'd rather have him lying than be delusional. Because with the lying thing, at least there's like a sense of competency. If you're just delusional, like you're, I don't know if you're fit for the job. If you're just being delusional...
Do you think he's being delusional right now about Jordan Love?
I mean, if they are sitting there with a lowball offer thinking, you know, kind of what you've been talking about all week, that, oh yeah, Jordan will come around. He'll come around. We've got this lowball offer to him, but he'll come around because he's going to want to play.
Well, and lowball is in the eye of the beholder as yeah. well, right? Like, they may not think it's a lowball offer. They may think it is a fair market value offer.
Well, unless that deal is $55 million or more, it's not fair market.
Maybe it is, but maybe there's a manipulation of, like we have talked about, the guarantees, the years. Like, again, if you're Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers put a five-year deal in front of you, are you going, yep, sign me up? It depends on what the...
guarantee is.
It depends on what the annual average value is, and it depends on what the guarantees are, right? Because there's a whole... We've talked about this, and I know this is where I'm sure a lot of our loyal listeners' eyes start to glaze over because it's the nuance of salary cap. It's the nuance of, like, manipulating a deal so that you can save money for the franchise but also reward these guys with top market value. There's a lot of layers to what the Packers can do to try to make a deal seem appealing when it is actually not as appealing as some of the other ones that are out there, the Trevor Lawrences, the Joe Burrows. Right, Joshy?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. The one thing I don't want us to lose sight of is we as humans are fairly malleable and we change as we take in new information.
As we should.
Yes. But it was just like 2 weeks ago that it was a foregone conclusion for many people that this deal was going to be done in time for camp. Now we're Friday, 5 days from when this was originally supposed to happen, and everyone's kind of adjusted and they've stayed at the same point of, well, it's getting done, it's getting done, it's getting done. And we should recognize the fact that this wasn't as foregone of a conclusion. We were wrong at the beginning, and this is more contentious than we were originally led to believe. Because if there wasn't contention here, a deal would just simply be done by now.
Correct.
They know the terms. They know what Jordan Love wants. The Packer and Jordan Love's camp knows what the Packers want. So at this point, there is something here more to this than just simply, they're working on a contract. Because they've been working on a contract since May, April, how long?
No, I think it was only the last couple months. Only the last 2 months.
So I think we spend a lot of time just readjusting and changing and not recognizing how informative of the prior beliefs were, which we are led to believe by Brian Gutekunst, which Gabe has tried to keep hammering home, is there is a difference here and something isn't right with the negotiations. I don't think we spent enough time figuring out, are the Packers deciding between, is it simply just a money thing and they're not comfortable with the amount of money these type of contracts demand, or are they not confident in Jordan Love because they don't think they've seen enough?
Couldn't it be a combination of both?
Couldn't it be
a combination of both?
It absolutely could.
But I also think, Packers, you're up against it. Like, at some point, you can sit there and you can say, we're going to be stubborn. We're going to dig our heels in. We're going to hold Pat. He's going to come around to us. Is he? Doesn't seem that way. I don't think Jordan Love's camp is telling him, you know what, let's give it a week. We'll give it a week. If they haven't come around by a week, we'll let you get out there. We know you want to throw route. You know, we know you want to be out there with your guys. We know you want to be passing to your guys. We know you want to be getting the offense clicking. Give it a week. No, I don't get that impression at all. I don't get the impression that there is a timeline for Jordan Love. I think Jordan Love waits. until he gets what he wants.
You can't. If you, the second Jordan Love steps on the field is the second the contract goes down. Because he loses all the leverage the second he steps out on the field. Like, you've made the decision to hold in and participate in all the meetings and do all that, and you're just not going through the physical stuff on the field because that's where the risk is. But if he steps on the field without a contract, he's got no chance at getting the fair market deal of the Trevor Lawrence deal.
800-990-3776. We are putting it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Do you think a deal will be done by the time we turn the mics on Monday morning, 7 a.m., which would give you the entire weekend? You know, if you're going to Pottawatomie and you're trying to make, well, you get 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, for somebody to go, you know what? Let's just do this thing. Yes, this all works. We made it work. We figured out the money. We're going to give you the guarantees that you want. We're going to give you the years that you want. And you're going to be one of the top paid quarterbacks in the league. Here you go. Now get on the field. Practice with your guys. Make us better. Start the Super Bowl run. Jason Wilde is coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We will, of course, ask him what he is hearing from 1265. The guys were off yesterday, the Green Bay Packers, but still a lot of stuff that happened on Wednesday that we can dive into with him. That's next.
Tune in to The Analysis Show each and every week, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Thanasis Dedekumbo hangs out with special guests for fun and even surprising conversations. Maybe it's his live show that he did with Giannis, the chat he had with Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love, getting the inside scoop on fighting with Logan Paul, or any other one of TA's unique guests. Find The Analysis Show on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Plus, you can subscribe to The Analysis Show on YouTube to see exclusive video content from Thanasis. The Analysis Show, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call. That's all.
Ready? Down! Put!
All Packers. All the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We love getting Jason Wilde on the show to give us the latest from 1265. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
Well, I've got nothing that's the latest from 1265. They had the day off yesterday. It was great. Now back to the grind.
Yes, that is wonderful. And I heard that Wednesday was a pretty interesting day. Did Eric Stokes have a pretty good day out there?
Well, he had kind of an Eric Stokes day. He had two interceptions, but he also got beat on third and four by Romeo Doubs to pick up a first down, and he got a really egregious pass interference penalty. So, you know, kind of you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have
back to life. Day. Yep, there it is.
Eric Stokes. Jason, just, you know, before we get to even more things other than Jordan Love, Josh just brought up a good point that clearly this is more contentious than we've been led to believe, because if there wasn't any contentiousness, a deal would be done. So, A, do you agree with there's more contentiousness than we were led to believe? And B, who do you think is holding us up? Do you think Jordan's being unreasonable, or do you think the Packers have not come in with a fair market value deal?
It pains me to agree with Josh, so I will I won't use contentiousness. I'll say there is a greater difference of opinion than we were led to believe.
Will you take it, Josh?
I'm taking that as a win. All right.
Yeah, I knew you would, buddy.
He's celebrating. He's dancing back there, Jason.
Now there would be a great digital-only opportunity. One of the things I hate doing is guessing. Right? I mean, and look, when I make educated guesses, you know, I've been really irritated by this because I was treated like I was some sort of Chicken Little for saying that this was a possibility for weeks leading into training camp, right? Like, I kept saying that, and I was being sent away with a pat on the head saying, oh, isn't this cute? Jason's bringing up a possibility. That there's no way. They're going to just make him the highest paid quarterback and everything will be great. I'm sure Diana Rossini corresponds with David Mulugeta. I'm sure Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport do. Tom Pelissero. I do not get texts back from him. I'm not a big enough fish, which I know comes as a surprise to you guys. So I would love for him to tell one of them that he does correspond with what exactly the holdup is. But if you're going to ask me to guess, it's going to be that Jordan Love believes, or Jordan Love's representation believes, that if you are paying based on what he is going to accomplish, not solely what he has accomplished, that he deserves more guaranteed money than what the Green Bay Packers, who are trying to hedge their bets just in case Jordan Love isn't as star-spangled awesome as he appeared to be last year during the second half of the season, that they can get out of it. And we've talked so many times on this show about some of the things that Goody has done, even for his anointed golden child of a quarterback. You bring it up all the time. You love it when I bring it up, the quote of, that's a lot of money to give a guy who hasn't played, when they decided to not give him the fifth-year option. Now, we might be in the same situation today had they just given him the fifth-year option. There would have been seven games last season where we'd have been like, oh, my God, I can't believe they gave this guy the fifth-year option. But then they would have had an opportunity in December to sign him to an extension like they did with Rodgers after eight games in the 2008 season. But the bottom line is that they are where they are. The market has exploded in terms of cost. And my gut would tell me that the Packers' offer is not enough guaranteed money to get the deal done. I don't know when that changes. I don't know how that changes. Jen, correct me if I'm wrong, but Diana has changed her verbiage when she reports on this from a matter of weeks to they're getting closer. Is that right? Is that how she's changed her reporting?
I believe, based on seeing Florio and Schefter and Diana all say it's close, that that is the line that Jordan Love's agency is taking. I don't know if there was some sort of conversation with the Packers that was like, hey, stop putting out spooky stuff to rile people up. And so now it feels like everybody is getting the same kind of party line of, it's not done yet, but it's getting there. And I agree with you, Jason. I think it's guarantees. I think it's the guaranteed money. I don't know if it's, I still don't know if it's years, if it's a matter of, you know, are we talking a 4-year deal or a 6-year deal? Is 5 the magic number? I don't know that. But I believe guarantees and what the totality of the deal is, not just the average annual value. I don't know why every time that messes me up. I don't know why there's something about the AAV that my brain just is like, can't get it out. Anyway, that's what I have been led to believe.
Yeah, I prefer 8. That's easier for me, too. Look, let's say that the deal is 4 years, $224 million. If my math is correct, that would mean a $56 million a year average, and that would make him, based on APY, the highest paid quarterback in the league. Now, again, I don't know if the Packers are willing to do that or not, but that would placate any desire for them to claim, all right, he's the highest paid quarterback in the league. All right, we got our guy the highest. He's past Burrow. He's past Trevor Lawrence. His average is 56. To me, it all will come down to, does he have $180 million of that guaranteed or $140 million of that guaranteed? Like, again, it's so hard for me to have this conversation because our fans that listen to our shows, and quite frankly, those of us that do these shows, this money is such monopoly money to me when we talk about it. But that's the game we play. And $40 million when you're talking about $224 million, it's easy for your eyes to glaze over and say, well, you know, it's life-changing generational wealth money. What does it really matter? But it really does matter for these guys, and it should, because money is respect in the NFL, as Chewy can tell you.
pivoting off of Jordan Love, but not straying too far away, Jason, the wide receiver battle and how things are going to shake out in terms of who's going to be out there, how many snaps, how many targets guys are going to get has been one of the storylines I think fans are most interested in heading into training camp. Has that been affected at all with not having Jordan Love out there? Instead, it's, you know, Sean Clifford making the passes to these guys as they're battling for playing time.
I don't know if it's affected that competition. I mean, you know, I think it's affecting it a little bit. Like, Jaden Reed is clearly going to be somewhere in their top 3 to 4, right? I mean, he led them in receptions. He led them in receiving yards last year. But, you know, he didn't practice the first 2 days. He practiced on Wednesday on a limited basis. He's not doing 11 on 11. You know, there have been plays. There was one, you know, I wrote about it in my story about Clifford today. You know, and look, I'm not here to be Sean Clifford's PR spin doctor, but I thought he made some really good points about how, you know, if you're watching practice, these are guys that he has not thrown to regularly. Like, he threw some to the rookies last year. I mean, Dontavion Wicks, Jaden Reed, you know, they weren't taking all first team reps right away. We know what they became during the course of the season. So he has some experience with them, but he said he'd never thrown to Romeo Doubs or Christian Watson in 11 on 11 before. Okay. And I thought he gave an outstanding example. And this is why I really like him as a player to talk to, and why I think it's really important for guys to help us understand what goes on out there. So we were talking about Eric Stokes earlier here, and Eric Stokes had an interception on a play in which Sean Clifford threw a slant behind, just a tick behind, but certainly behind Dontavion Wicks. The ball deflected off of Wicks' hands. Stokes intercepted it. And I saw LaFleur come over to Clifford afterward, and LaFleur was pissed. And he wasn't like, you know, Aaron Rodgers, throw your arms up pissed. But he was, you could tell he was talking to him in kind of a stern manner. And then Clifford went over and talked to Tom Clemens after that. So that 11-on-11 session ends. They have a couple of special teams periods. They have another 11-on-11 period. And a few plays later, in that, they're facing a 3rd-and-4. And Sean Clifford completes a pass to Romeo Doubs against Eric Stokes to pick up the first down. A play that Eric Stokes, by his own admission, was obsessing about because they beat him so badly with the play. And talking to Sean Clifford afterward, he explained that the play that he threw the interception on, LaFleur said, look, that's supposed to be a backside throw to Doubs. And then Doubs came over and talked him through, all right, here's what I'm going to do. Here's how this operates. Here's how this play works. Because he had never thrown that route and run that play before, ever last year, ever through the first two practices before that. And so they run the exact same play. They pick up the first down against Stokes. So my point is that Jordan Love has done all this. He's not as experienced as Aaron Rodgers was, but this is a process for Sean Clifford to be productive and effective with guys that he's unfamiliar with. That was a step forward. So while he has thrown like 5 picks in the last 2 practices, I don't think it's as catastrophic for the folks that are like, oh my God, they got to get Love back. This guy sucks. I think it's an adjustment period for him. I think he is improving. I still would say you don't want him starting in Brazil, but these are the things that you find out when you spend some time talking to guys.
Jason, good stuff. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a great weekend.
Sounds great. You guys take care. Be good.
All right. He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every weekday right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We have Craig Karmazin coming up. I'm sure he has many thoughts on the dynamic between the front office and Jordan Love. We will get those right after this.
Change the way you do business. Take control, or take more control of the payment process with Fifth Third Bank's Treasury Management Solutions. Their market expertise and managed services streamline the entire payment process and integrate with your existing systems, giving you more control than ever. With their suite of payment solutions, you will soon recognize new revenue sources that can save time, offset operating costs, and improve the bottom line, all customized for you and your business. Fifth Third Bank National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's
Friday, and that means a visit from our friend and, well, boss, Craig Karmazin. Good morning, Craig. How are you today?
Good morning from the lobby of the JW Marriott in LA Live in Los Angeles, California.
Ooh, so it's early there. Thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate that.
Didn't want to wake anyone up, so in the lobby. That's
okay.
What we do.
Well, that's good to know. I am curious what you're doing there, but I don't want to, you know, make you tell your business on the street, so we'll just move on. Gabe is, I wouldn't say panicking. That feels like an overreaction. But you are, there are some unintended consequences of the situation with Jordan Love and the front office. And one of those is that Gabe is now more skeptical of Brian Gutekunst because of some of the things he has said recently that have proven to not be true. You, I'm sure, have been through a million negotiations with employees, with businesses, with companies.
We call them teammates, just for the record.
Yeah, that's right. you're right about that. Has there ever been a situation where you have thought you were close to getting a deal done and then ultimately you did not get a deal done, or you thought you were closer than the other person? What I'm trying to say is, can you sympathize, empathize, recognize the situation that the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love find themselves in?
I can't really do it with a person. There's transactions that I could compare it to where just, you know, you're going to get the deal done, but there's just enough factors that it just takes longer than it should take. Never in people issues for me, because I don't find people issues to have as many factors. Like, I mean, it's Jordan Love. Okay, so it's how many years, it's how much guaranteed, it's what incentive, and let's go, right? Like, how much guaranteed money, right? I don't think there's could be that many factors when it comes to a person negotiation. So when there's a deal that involves real estate, it involves, you know, it involves, you know, hundreds of different factors, right? I could see that, but I just don't see that when it involves an individual like Jordan Love.
Okay, so you're minimizing the suggestion that has been put out there, I think in some part to calm people's fears, that this is very complicated. There are lots of layers to this, and there's figuring out, you know, the total term value and things like that. You're saying, nah, man, you're overcomplicating this.
Well, we've had a long time, right? Like, from the day the season ended, we knew this was the priority for the offseason. So whether or not you could actually sign the deal or not, I mean, this is not complicated based on the time that it was needed. So if there is an agreement, then there would have been a contract. Now, it doesn't mean that I think I had predicted last week that today or tomorrow was my day. So I think this is about at the timetable I predicted. But obviously, if the Packers wanted this done earlier and that was the priority, it would have already been done.
So do you interpret this at all that maybe the Packers, at least the front office or Gutekunst or Russ Ball, aren't 100% behind Jordan Love?
No. I mean, they look at themselves as fiduciaries, right, who are responsible for making sure that they invest every dollar properly. So I'm sure the Kenny Clark deal was very, you know, to the dollar in their analytics of what they were willing to spend. And the same thing is true with Jordan Love. As I said, I have a different philosophy in this, but I don't think there's anything to doubt that they believe in Jordan Love or they want Jordan Love to be the quarterback of the future, or even that they're going to pay him more than the Jaguars paid Trevor Lawrence.
So then what they're telling us is practice isn't actually as important as maybe we think.
Well,
because there's some sort of message here, Craig, that, I mean, again, if this deal gets done and it ends up being basically the Trevor Lawrence deal or just a little bit more, I'm going to wonder what the hell took so long and why Love had to miss a week of practice. Maybe practice isn't that important.
I was at the Rams practice yesterday, and it's amazing to me how hard people practice even this time of year, right? Like in the summer in LA, like just being there yesterday, it just reminded me the hard work that's involved in this and the chemistry that people are developing. And yeah, I absolutely believe all the practice matters. And I think it matters that Jordan Love is there, right? He may not be practicing full, but I think there's some value he's getting out of being there. But yeah, I mean, is there less being developed because Jordan Love's not practicing? Like, sure. Like, absolutely. And if the Packers end up saving, I don't know, $22 million over the next 5 years, is that worth it? To me, it's not.
Craig, the other conversation that we were having yesterday was about Christian Yelich and his back injury and him potentially maybe facing surgery. It sounds like that is not an issue. That he is not going to have surgery, at least right now. He is hoping to kind of get it treated and continue on with the season. What is your confidence level for the Milwaukee Brewers as they go into August and September baseball if Yelich is limited in any way?
I mean, my confidence level is so high in this team. I didn't realize. I mean, is it common knowledge that they've played 10 more road games than home games? Like, does everybody know that?
I don't think I did. I don't think I'd heard that little nugget.
Yeah, I didn't notice that until, like, just, you know, in the last day or so. And the fact that they're almost at the two-thirds mark of the season and they're still playing at this level and they've dealt with all the injuries. I mean, Christian Yelich was hurt earlier in the year. Christian Yelich played at an MVP level. There's been so many different versions of this team, and I felt confident in this team regardless. Now, in a playoff series, I feel like the Christian Yelich we saw earlier this year is the one that actually allows you to beat some of these teams that they haven't been able to beat in the postseason. So I have so much confidence in this team. This team has been so fun to watch, but a healthy Christian Yelich would make me feel like, you know what? They could beat the Dodgers. Like, they could play with the Phillies. I don't know if I would say going into a series, I'd expect them to beat the Phillies in almost any scenario, but I mean, I almost would pick them to beat the Dodgers if they're reasonably healthy going into a series.
Craig, when you see that the Ohio State Buckeyes spent $20 million in NIL money last year, especially now with, you know, the relationships we have with UW Athletics, we just announced with Marquette Athletics, we're extending that deal here with ESPN Milwaukee over the next three seasons. I mean, what did that number do to you? Is that about what you expected that universities have to spend to be competitive in today's era of college athletics?
I don't know that you have to be invest that to be competitive, but I think the top schools are going to do that, right? And we've always seen the top schools, you know, invest way more in their programs. It used to be they'd do it in the weight room. So Ohio State would have a $20 million weight room and Wisconsin would have a $2 million weight room. And now Wisconsin has $2 million of NILs and Ohio State has $20 million of NILs. And I'm not saying that the 20 to 2 is exact, but I don't think this is anything that's different than it's always been, right? There's certain programs that have more dollars, that have more resources, and that are going to invest more in everything. And NIL is just the newest thing. I don't think that's a new thing when it comes to college sports.
Craig, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
I just want to say, for the record, that we are still allowed to laugh when Chewy's not here, although we didn't today.
Fair.
I don't know if there's a correlation, but I'm willing to laugh even if Chewy's not here.
Well, what do you want to laugh about? We got chicken wings we could talk about.
What, you got a joke? You got like a joke you want to tell or what?
What? Yeah, you got something?
I don't know. You have like ChatGPT that could like make up a joke about me. Like if you say like I have Craig Carnes on the radio right now, what could I tell him that would make him laugh? Like what? I don't know. If ChatGPT like would come up with something, but I don't know. We're under the gun. Like, maybe
what it sounds like to me is you're creating problems with no solutions.
I've never used ChatGPT. Have you?
Yeah, I have.
What have you used it for? What do you use it for? Like, what would I use it for?
I use it almost every day. I use it. Okay, wait. I'll ask her right now. I'll tell it that I'm on the radio right now and need to tell a funny joke.
I just did the same thing. See.
Okay, all right, Joshua, you're ahead of me. What do we got?
Why did the Scarecrow win an award? Supposed to say, I don't know why.
I don't know why.
Because he was outstanding in his field.
Outstanding in his field. Was that a real laugh? That's a fake laugh.
That is a big time fake laugh.
That was a bad fake laugh. You got a good fake laugh,
Gabe?
That's
kind of real.
What do you mean that was kind of real? Either it's real, it's a one or a zero proposition, Craig. Either it's real or it's not.
Then it was not.
Just so you know, Gabe is having trouble this morning with incremental things, okay? So, like, he's been very stubborn this morning about the contract. Either it's done or it's not close. He doesn't believe in these, it's close and it's getting closer, these incremental progress things.
Well, then
so that makes sense as to why you would say that that's either a fake laugh or a real laugh. No. You can't have increments of real.
Correct. Either the laugh is genuine or it is not.
Gabe, if you're being such a scientist right now, then why don't scientists trust atoms?
Why don't scientists trust atoms?
Yeah.
I don't know, Craig.
Because they make up everything.
It's a fake laugh.
Fake? Yeah.
Real.
All right.
I got one more. I ChatGPT'd a joke too. Hold on. Why don't skeletons fight each other?
Why, Jen?
They don't have the guts. That was a snicker.
The little chuckle, wait. I believe, was genuine from Craig.
You think how pissed off scientists are right now, and like people, like they've spent like the last 30 years developing artificial intelligence and like away from their families and writing the most brilliant programs to be able to do computer programming and to like try to save the world, and we're doing it to come up with like dad jokes.
Well, just so you know, we're very conflicted here on artificial intelligence, because on one hand, yes, there are times when I don't have time to aggregate a stat or something, so I will ask ChatGPT, like, who was the last quarterback to throw 4,000 yards and 16 interceptions, and it will, you know, populate that list for me. But there are also people like Chewy who are investing in computers and artificial intelligence to eliminate human jobs. So,
well,
it's
Chewy's also investing in robots, which is going to be the ultimate demise of humans. So,
well, that's, yes, all of this. All of this is all connected. All right, Craig, we appreciate you trying to get some laughs out of us.
By the way, I just asked ChatGPT what Jen, Gabe, and Chewy should talk about today.
All right, hit me.
And they said, here are a few suggestions. NFL training camp, because the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love have a tough contract situation. The MLB trade deadline, because the Milwaukee Brewers' potential moves they could make. Summer sports events, highlighting the Tour de France, Wimbledon, and the Olympics. And pop culture, they could share their thoughts on the latest movies, TV shows, or music releases. Maybe even have a fun debate about the best summer blockbuster movie of all time.
Well, Joshy, you're out of a job. You just got fired. How about that? ChatGPT just did Joshy's job. Wonderful. Great, Craig.
All right. I feel like we kind of left. Have a good weekend, everybody. Right.
That's Craig Carmes, and he joins us each and every Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Not bad suggestions by ChatGPT. I was going to ask you guys, with the Summer Olympics kicking off, they have the opening ceremonies today, what you are most looking forward to about the Summer Olympics.
When it's over, so people don't have to pretend like they care.
Whoa. I had no idea you were such an Olympic cynic.
Oh, you didn't see that coming from him?
No, I did not.
You thought that Joshy was going to be sitting there in his American flag hat watching
yes.
the Olympics?
Joshy appreciates
waving
all
a flag.
Sports.
Does he?
Apparently not. That's okay, this is the impression I was under. So I was under the impression that Joshie and I were closer than we are in regards to our appreciation for the summer games.
Much like Brian Gutekunst, that's on you.
We got to take a break. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on after this.
You know how much we love Palermo's here at ESPN Milwaukee. With the weekend approaching, you're probably going to be going somewhere, doing something, hanging out with the family. You're going to get back from whatever activity you have this weekend. Man, I still want to have something that's really good to eat, something that tastes great, but I don't have to make it. That's where Palermo's Pizza comes in. I always make sure I've got a few Palermo's pizzas in my freezer, and you should as well, because even if you have a family with so many different tastes, Palermo's has you covered, because under the umbrella of the Palermo's family of brands, it includes not only Palermo's, but Urban Pie, Connie's, Surfer Boy Pizza, Screamin' Sicilian, Neighborhood Pizzeria, so many different pizzas, so many different flavors, so many different tastes, and they've been doing this for over 60 years right here in Wisconsin. So when it comes to premium frozen pizza, of course, they know what they're doing. Find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's flavor is our family's business.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But remember he said his birthday?
Yeah.
Maybe we get a little freaky.
Yeah. Like everyone's like, oh, look at our horny little boy. We're so good for him. Like, everybody's so supportive of Giannis, they just kind of look past it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Santana's in Milwaukee?
Sure is.
Wait, Santana Counting Crows?
Yes, ma'am.
I should go. I enjoy the Counting Crows. Now, they are one of those bands that they riff a lot. Change the melody, change the lyrics, and then you're trying to sing along, and you're like, oh, no, hey, I thought, okay.
But that's what makes a live show great, because it's different than the version you're used to listening to. By throwing that little curveball, by throwing that changeup, by making it different, it makes it better.
Is that true?
I think so.
To me, it is. I mean, I'm going to Santana tonight with the Counting Crows, and then Phish at Alpine.
Oh boy,
as well. Big weekend for me. Going to be might show up here limping in here on Monday.
Thoughts and prayers.
What do you mean might? What do you mean might?
Well, I got Sunday off. Basically because Mussolini's going to her own concert and we don't have a babysitter for the puppy.
Whoa. I don't want to call her that because I got in trouble last time. So we're not going to call her that. She has a triple header this weekend for concerts?
She's not going to the first two. She's going to Alanis Morissette, I believe.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw Alanis Morissette at AmFam 2 years ago, I want to say. Rained like crazy. Fantastic show. She's going to love it.
Is it 90s weekend in Milwaukee? What's going on here?
Well, we got Red Hot Chili Peppers on Saturday. We're going Harley Fest.
Oh, sure.
Down by the lake. Red Hot Chili Peppers. Have not seen them in concert, so checking it off the old bucket list.
So it is 90s weekend in Milwaukee.
Do you think Anthony Kiedis' 20-year-old girlfriend will be there?
Oh, I hope so. Gosh, I hope so. I mean, I won't be able to find her. Or, you know, it's not like our paths are going to cross, but I hope she gets to enjoy the great city of Milwaukee. Yes, Joshie, yeah,
well,
I do.
Well, if you see someone with him that looks like his daughter, no, that's his girlfriend.
just be generally aware.
Just, yeah.
Thanks for the additional information to ensure that I... and I'll take a picture and I'll send it to the group chat. How's that sound? I want to get into, in the second hour of the show... You hating the Olympics. This is a surprise take by you. I did not see you being an Olympic skeptic.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever. I'm not going to waste any of my time watching it. The storylines aren't that interesting to me. These are people we see every 4 years. I think it's like highly specialized. It's whatever. I think there's a lot of virtue signaling that goes on. You rah-rah. You don't care about the handball team. You care who wins the fastest, who runs the fastest shuttle. You're just doing a thing.
Fastest shuttle? What is it, field day? What are we doing here?
That's basically what the Olympics are.
I mean, if you see what the Olympics have added.
It's the world's field day.
Well, I mean, again, and I don't know how you get into some of these specialized sports. It's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, play a real sport.
Like, how do you get into handball?
They are
is there
playing
a Milwaukee handball?
Real sports also. Like, if we, again, I don't subscribe to this real sport, fake sport thing, but just for funsies, I'll go along with you for a second. There is basketball, men's and women's. There is track and field, men's and women's. Like, these are big these are big deals. Gymnastics, of course. The world!
Yeah, and we support them all every the 3 years in between. We watch all their events, attend their matches. We do it all.
I do watch a lot of track and field. I don't know if that helps in this conversation or hurts in this conversation, but I do watch a lot of track and field. We have to take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have people weighing in on Joshy's thoughts on the Olympics, and they're not great. But we'll get into that. And chicken wings. I guess we're talking chicken wings at some point in the second hour of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.